Dear congregation, we hope to listen this morning to both Psalm 34 and also, by the way, Psalm 56, although shortly, and 1 Samuel 21. The text words for this morning you'll find in Psalm 34, verse 6 and 7. Let us read them. Psalm 34, verses 6 and 7. We hear David. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The theme for the sermon this morning is God's mercy to an erring David, the man after God's heart. You feel the contradiction, right? Erring and yet the man after God's heart. So the theme is, again, God's mercy. It's all about God's mercy in our life. David's life and our life, God's mercy to an erring David. And please fill in this morning your own name. Don't listen for David. He is with the Lord. Let's listen for ourselves, not for our neighbor, for ourselves. To an erring David. But fill in your name. The man after God's heart. Three thoughts. 3 points of attention. First, strong in God. We look back in this first thought and consider the strength of David in God. So strong in God. Second thought, weak in himself. Weak in himself. And we consider his fall. You could say that 1 Samuel 21 is about a fall of David. A lack of faith. Sin. So the second thought is weak in himself. And the third thought, mercy through God's word. In a double sense, God's word with a capital letter, Jesus Christ, and a small letter, his word, the Bible. So again, strong in God, weak in himself, mercy through God's word. Strong in God. We have been following David for a while by now. And most probably our predominant feeling is that of admiration. Looking back all these chapters about David's life. How did it all begin? Well, we first meet David in chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16. And we probably remember how David was called the youngest, or the smallest in Hebrew, the katan. You remember probably that word. The smallest, the youngest, the katan. But yet, although he was the smallest, the youngest, the katan, he was chosen by God to be king of the people of God, Israel. We read about David in 1 Samuel 13, the Lord has sought him, a man after his own heart. And by the way, that's grace. grace alone. It is nothing in David that will be the lesson this morning. To be a man after God's heart is because of God and His mercy, His grace, His compassion, His dealings with us. It's not because of David. That will be very clear after this service. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commended him to be a captain over his people. The katan, what a comfort for us. After his calling, what did David do? He remained, or he stayed. He stayed a shepherd's boy. He didn't leave his calling of being a shepherd's boy. He gave his future calling because he was called by the Lord to be a king of Israel. But he gave that calling in the Lord's hand and he waited on the Lord's time. He stayed a shepherd's boy. He waited. And the time as a shepherd boy was a blessed time. It was a time of preparation. You could wonder, David, you are called to be a king, and yet you stay a shepherd's boy. Why? Well, the Lord used this time as a time of preparation. Listen to these words. Listen to what David himself says about the time of waiting. Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him. And delivered that lamb out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant smote both a lion and a bear. And from the context, it is so clear that David was very well aware that he received his strength and power from God. Yes, he overcame the bear and the lion. By God's strength, by God's power, by God's goodness. You see, what a blessed time of preparation, because he stayed there as a shepherd's boy at home. And during the time there was more, he developed his talents, his God-given talents as a musician. He is famous because of his harp playing. These things didn't go unnoticed. You see, that's how the Lord works. It didn't go unnoticed. And we hear one of the servants of Saul saying to his king, "Behold, King Saul, I have seen a son indeed, the smallest, the youngest, the katan, of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing." You see, he developed his talents. That's what he did in his time of waiting on the Lord. And a mighty valiant man, a man of war, he slew a lion and a bear. And news went around. And that servant continues, "He is prudent in matters, a comely person, and the Lord is with him." That's most important. What a blessed time of preparation. And do you see the secret of David's life? We just heard that servant of Saul saying, "The Lord is with him." The secret of a blessed life, a fruitful life, is Emmanuel, Jesus Christ with us, God with us in his Son, Emmanuel. Do we know about that Emmanuel in our life? Without him, you will not have a fruitful life. Without him, your life serves no purpose. Seek Emmanuel. Don't wait. But after this time of preparation, everything gained momentum. David was called by King Saul to be his armor bearer. By the way, he was more than an armor bearer. You know how he made music when the evil spirit of God came upon Saul. Tragic. Tragic. The good spirit of God left King Saul because of his sin. What a serious warning. And the Lord sent an evil spirit upon King Saul. And here is that small armor bearer who developed his talents in his time waiting on God. And he played music for King Saul. And then we listen to that very long chapter, 1 Samuel 18. David went to the camp of the army of Israel in obedience to his father. David, go to the camp of the army of Israel. And there he went. Oh, what a lesson. He waited on the Lord. He was obedient to his father. And there he heard the words of Goliath. By the way, what is the hometown of Goliath? Gath. Remember this, because that name will come back later in this sermon. Goliath of Gath. And Goliath, that living tank, divide the armies of the living God and the living God himself. And David, the youngest, the smallest, who had learned to wait on the Lord. Oh, David was filled with an holy rage. He was enraged. He was outraged. And fearlessly approached that living tank, Goliath, who defied his living God. And he did so with the words on his mouth, "The Lord will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." He needed no armor, he needed no sword, he needed no spear, he needed no shield. God and his word was enough. And fearlessly he approached the living tank and he said flatly, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear, with a shield. But I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." How dare you, Goliath, to defy the living God, my God. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. And we know what happened. David smote Goliath. He triumphed. How? By faith alone. By faith alone. Equipped by the Lord in the time of waiting, he defeated Goliath. Oh, we heard what happened afterwards. Saul, King Saul, heard the women singing. "Saul has slain his thousand, but David his 10,000. And now it was the turn of King Saul to be enraged and outraged. Jealous. Jealousy filled his heart. And we know what happened. We read, "Saul eyed David from that moment on forward." And from that moment on, affliction, tribulation, oppression, anxiety is present in David's life. Oh, don't think that David flew from King Saul. No, of course not. He stayed on his position as long as he could. We all stay in our position as long as we can, because it is the God-given position in our life. So he stayed as long as he could in Saul's palace. But we know how King Saul tried to take David's life. And what do we read about David? David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. And later I hope to return to this theme, but what is the secret of being wise in life? It is the fear of the Lord. It is faith in Jesus Christ. Whoever is filled with the Spirit and trusteth Jesus Christ and the triune God will behave wisely. Remember that David behaved wisely here. But then the time came that David didn't have any other choice and he flew. There was no other option. He would have lose his life by staying in Saul's palace. And he fled to Naioth in Ramah. Why to Naioth? Because that's the place where Samuel, the prophet of God, lived. And David was hungry and thirsty after God's word. So he fled to Samuel, Naioth in Ramah, to hear God's word through the mouth of his servant, Samuel. And then we moved on to 1 Samuel 20 and we heard what happened between David and Jonathan. Both were confused. And they probed, they examined each other's heart. And together they tried to examine and to probe King Saul's heart. But they couldn't understand. Why this enmity? Why this hostility? And David, he cried out, why do I experience all these afflictions? Why? Is there any sin in me? So they tried to examine each other's heart and the heart of their king. The outcome is familiar to us. It became very clear that Saul's heart was filled with deadly enmity against David. And so we read in the last words of 1 Samuel 20. We didn't read them. And he arose and departed. Actually, chapter 20 should have begun in verse 42b of chapter 20. And he arose and departed. That's where chapter 22 begins. He departed. You see, let's wrap up this first thought. It is so true what we read in Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But we also see when we review David's life up to this moment, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 34 is written by David. He is the one who tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of all. Don't forget it. Therefore, let us wait on the Lord. Let us trust him, rest in him, find our peace in the midst of afflictions in the Lord. With the Lord, we can do mighty deeds. Are you in need of a mighty deed? Well, we can do mighty deeds. We can overcome our enemies. How? By God's strength and mercy. The triple enemy is powerless against a triune God. Powerless against the Lord. Our triple enemy, without and within, the triple enemy is powerless against God's Son. He overcame that triple enemy. Christ disarmed Satan and his henchmen. Where? On Calvary's cross. Listen, he disarmed our enemy. our arch enemy there on Calvary's cross. We read in Colossians, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly there at Calvary's cross, triumphing over them in it. Oh, there he slew Satan by paying the ransom in complete obedience to his Father for sinners at Calvary's cross. But you know, even as the Lord leads us into trial and tribulation, with the Lord there is deliverance. That's the lesson from David's life. Let's move on to the second thought. Weak. Weak in himself. Or maybe better, weak in ourselves. We are not strong. We are strong in the Lord. But in ourselves, we are weak. David's life takes a turn, a different turn, a remarkable turn, and not for the good. Not for the good. David, so mighty in the Lord, waited on the Lord in obedience, who stayed there at Saul's palace as long as he could. Well, that same David that slew that mighty enemy Goliath, that same David is so weak in himself. That man after God's heart is so weak. He is the man after God's heart, but that's grace alone. Because we read that God had chosen him. God loved him. Why? One-sided love. God empowered him. God equipped him. God enabled him. God was his guard. God was his all. That's the reason why David was such a valiant man. And even, you know, David's perseverance, his strength, his wisdom, it all came from God. The instrument was the fear of the Lord, faith. Yeah, but it was all God's mercy and compassion. Oh, the story in 1 Samuel 21 tells us that even the strongest among us, and I hope you are strong spiritually. Spiritually. I hope we are all strong spiritually. But that even the strongest here is weak in him or herself. You know that text, 1 Corinthians 10. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth. Do you think that you stand? Do you think that you're strong in faith? Well, take heed, lest ye fall. You are not strong, you're weak in yourself. Our strength is in the Lord and him alone. And then we see the downfall, the decline in David's life. It goes in stages, two stages. The first stage is Nob. And the second stage is Gath. First, Nob. Oh, it begins well. It begins well. David flees to Nob. Why to Nob? Well, Nob is a small village very close to the city of Jerusalem. There is a mountain called Mount Scopus. And probably on that Mount Scopus was this small village, Nob. Why did David flee to Nob? In that small village was the tabernacle. There were the priests. And David was hungry and thirsty for God's word. And therefore, he fled to Nob. He sought God's word, got the Lord's counsel. How do I know that? Because you don't read it in chapter 21. Well, you read it clearly in chapter 22. We read in 1 Samuel 22, verse 10, that David went to know why? To inquire from the Lord. You see, at crossholds in his life, David always sought the Lord's counsel. He opened God's word. He inquired from the Lord. That's the main reason to flee to Nob. But things quickly turn around in a snap, in a split second almost. As soon as David stands before Ahimelech, the priest, a lie comes out of his mouth. Isn't it amazing? We go to the church to see God's counsel. We pray. We open God's word, hungry and thirsty to see him. And suddenly, the other moment, in a split second, we are overcome by anxiety, by fear. And there is sin. We are so weak in ourselves. Suddenly, in a split second, a lie comes out of his mouth. Amazing. Let's listen to the story. Ahimelech, the priest, the high priest, is surprised that David is alone. Weary that he is frightened. So Ahimelech, the high priest, is not even surprised, but he's frightened because David is alone. Well, it is understandable. The whole setting is strange. Why would one of Saul's most important commanders be alone? And he probably looked tired, hungry, because he begs for bread. He has no weapons with him. So it is a very strange and unsettling scene. And most probably, Ahimelech had already heard of the trouble between Saul and David. It's a small country. And Nob is very close to Jerusalem. So most probably Ahimelech knew about the troubles between Saul and David. And then Ahimelech, the high priest, asked David, "Why are you alone? Frightened, surprised, why are you alone, David?" And then hear the lie. Flat out lie, an open lie. "The king hath commanded me a business." "Where?" "And has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place." What a lie. Where is David's faith? The man who approached Goliath without any fear, fearlessly. The man who trusted the Lord is with me. Where is his faith? Where is his trust? You know, suddenly in that split second, he sought God's word. He needed God's counsel. And then suddenly, from one moment to another, this lie. Well, David had reasons to lie, humanly speaking. As we have often reasons to sin, humanly speaking. One reason, obviously, is that David fears Doeg. Doeg, the Edomite, is one of the main servants of King Saul, and Doeg is there in the tabernacle. And he watches this whole event. He hears every word spoken by David and Ahimelech. And David is afraid of Doeg the Edomite. Rightly so. And apparently we don't read it here. But it's not difficult to fill in. David is overwhelmed. Especially when we read Psalm 34 and 56. I hope to come back on that in the last thought. When we read these two Psalms, it is clear for us that David is overwhelmed here. He fears the many enemies around him. He has been on the run for a long time by now. He's tired. He is exhausted. There is a lack of energy. And he is especially exhausted emotionally. He is in the midst of a raging storm. And he sees the waves. He hears the wind, the storm wind. And he's no longer able to keep his gaze upon the Lord. He just hears the wind. He sees the waves, and there he sinks down. Like Peter. Oh, the wind is so threatening. The many enemies around him. Meanwhile, it becomes clear for us in chapter 21 that David is not alone. Outside Nob, waiting for David to return from his visit to the tabernacle, and the priest are some of his servants. So apparently David has a few servants, and they went with him on his flight from Saul's palace. And David then in the tabernacle alone, his servants waiting there outside Nob, asks for bread. And surprisingly, Ahimelech had just changed the showbread in the holy place, in the tabernacle. You know that there were 12 loaves of bread on that golden table in the holy place. And they were exchanged by fresh bread, warm bread, every Sabbath. So apparently this is a Sabbath or just the day after Sabbath. And Ahimelech had just changed the showbread, and he offers David the old showbread. But it was holy bread. And therefore he asked David, did you purify yourselves? Are you holy? And your servants, did they purify themselves? Are they holy? Because that showbread was holy bread. And the answer is yes. And so we read in verse 6, the priest Ahimelech gave him holy bread. Well, David has a second request. He is not only hungry and thirsty, he is without weaponry. He is without sword, without spear. We read in verse 8, Ahimelech, is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because, we hear that lie again, the king's business requires haste. Oh, David was in a hurry when he fled from King Saul, and he didn't have any time to take provisions with him and weapons. He was there alone, bare, without weapons, without provisions. So he asked both for bread and for weapons. The priest offers David Goliath's sword. Apparently, Goliath's sword ended up in the tabernacle. And David answers then, verse 9. There is none like that sword. Give it me. Just listen to these words. There is none like that sword. Give it me. Previously he said, there is none like the Lord. I can't without him. Where is David's faith? He was overcome by anxiety, by fear, overwhelmed by circumstances. He heard the threatening wind. He saw the huge waves. And he sank down in unbelief. Like so often happens in our life, that we, because of the circumstances, lose our faith. And our faith becomes weak and small. And there he goes. What a downfall. What a downfall. There is none like that. A sort. Oh, David. There is none like the Lord. And with the Lord, you don't need a sword. Having the Lord is enough. David has clearly lost sight of the Lord. It is a sliding scale. He's moving away from the Lord rapidly. But it even gets worse. Now we come to the second phase, Gath. In the second part of 1 Samuel 21, we read how David flees to Gath. Note, is Gath an Israeli city? No. It is a Philistine city. Even worse, Gath is the home place of Goliath. David, you slew Goliath. And now you go to Goliath's home place with his sword. What do you expect? And we all wonder, David, where is your wisdom? Is there any wisdom with you? Oh, the man after God's heart is clearly without wisdom, without discernment. He is not only frightened and overwhelmed, left alone to himself. He's without any wisdom. You see, our wisdom is in the Lord. And the instrument for that wisdom, to receive that wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. It is faith in Jesus Christ alone. Trust in God's word. Gone. Why did David flee to Gath? 1 Samuel 21 does not give an answer. But the thing is clear. It's just stupid. Lack of wisdom. His wisdom and insight was so brilliant, but now darkened. He walks like in darkness. And he doesn't know anymore what he does. So let's conclude this second thought David made. Two wrong decisions. His first wrong decision was to come with a lie in up. Overwhelmed, tired, exhausted, seeing his enemy, facing his enemy, facing the waves and the wind. He came with a lie. He didn't trust anymore on the Lord. And you know the result? The Lord willing, next week, we will hear the result. Our sins are not without consequences. 85 priests will be slaughtered by King Saul a little while later because of David's lie. Dear congregation, our sins are not without consequences, not for us personally, because there is a righteous judge, but also for the people around us. Fathers, mothers, do not sin, because it will have consequences on your family. Spouses, do not sin, because it will have consequences for your spouse. Children, do not sin, do not lie, because it will have consequences for your siblings. Dear member of Providence Reformed Church, do not sin, because it will have consequences for the Lord's dealings with Providence Reformed Church. That's the lesson here. Next week, the Lord willing, more about it. You know, and then that second wrong decision of David. He flee to Gath. Oh, it brought enormous cost. He pretended there in Gath to have lost his mind and turned into a madman. But by doing so, he demeaned himself, a man after God's heart. He did as if he was a madman. And by doing that, he disgraced his God, the living God. Remember how we slaughtered, how we slew Goliath by trusting the living God. And here he shames, he disgraces the same living God. Oh, David, where are you? Oh, the conclusion is so clear. Left to ourselves, even the strongest among us, and David was strong spiritually, but even the strongest among us is weak. And you see how quickly a downfall can occur? Just a split second. At one moment you open the Word of God, and the next moment you sin. With an open Bible. With the words of your prayers still on your lips. Oh, what downfall can occur so quickly. And see how it continued to go downhill. And we wonder, David, will it ever turn for the good? Before we consider that, let us sing Psalter 90. Psalter 90. And we'll sing stanzas 4, 6, and 7. That's Psalm 34. I'll explain later why we sing Psalm 34. Psalm 34, Psalter 90, stanzas 4, 6, and 7. So 1 Samuel 21 leaves us with many questions. Especially the question, what happened to David spiritually? Because we just read bare facts. And they are shocking. Although I hope actually they are not shocking for you. I hope you recognize these things in your life. That we experience the same things in our life. We are not better than David. Surely not. We are probably, most probably, less than David, the man after God's heart. And yet, let's fall. David, what happened there spiritually? In Gath. What happened there in the darkness? Is there any restoration? And if there is any restoration, how did it come about? Well, we don't have the answers in Samuel. But thanks to God, we have the Psalms. And amazingly, there in Gath, David wrote two Psalms. I couldn't read both of them. It would have taken so much time. But please read both of them at home. The first psalm is Psalm 34. He wrote that psalm in Gath, there, where he behaved as a madman and scrabbled on the gate with his fingers there. There he wrote Psalm 34. And he wrote Psalm 56. An amazing psalm. Both of them, by the way. How do I know that both psalms were written there? Well, it says in the heading of Psalm 34, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior for Abimelech. And Abimelech is the title, son of the king, for King Achish of Gath, who drove him away and he departed. And David was driven away with the words of Psalm 34 on his lips. But we have also Psalm 56, 5-6, and we read in the heading, to the chief musician, upon Jonathan Rechokim, Michtam of David. David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. You see? So probably he first wrote Psalm 56 and then 34. Let's listen first to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, a very well-known psalm. Let me open it here. Psalm 34. What is the middle text of Psalm 34? What is the center, the core of Psalm 34? What is the main message of Psalm 34? Well, let's read verse 11. That's the center of Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, ye children. There's David in the darkness of Gath. And there he sings. Come, ye children, prophetically, he invites the church of all times and places. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. In Gath, there in the darkness, surrounded by enemies, behaving as a madman, he suddenly realized, I'm without the fear of the Lord. And therefore I behave without any wisdom. Oh Lord, have mercy upon me. Return to me. And the lesson for the church of all times and places is, stay in the fear of the Lord. It is a sliding scale. It begins with being overwhelmed. Fearful. Then there is a small sin, a greater sin, and a greater sin. And in the end, there is no fear of the Lord anymore. And you walk in darkness, groping around, Lord, where are you? And you take wrong decisions. His discovery in Gath,
I went out of fear of the Lord. I trusted the sword and a lie. I was overwhelmed by the billows around me, by a storm. Lord, forgive. What is the fear of the Lord? The shortest definition: living before the face of a living God. Up until that time of Nob and Gath, David's life was marked by living before the face of a living God. God was a living God for David. That's the fear of the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He listened to the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He walked according to the words of the Lord. He obeyed the Lord in everything. The Lord was all for him. But here, gone. There was no longer a living before the living God. It was as if the Lord didn't exist anymore. The only thing that did exist were oppression, tribulation, anxiety, fear, being overwhelmed. Do you recognize it in your life? His discovery. And therefore that lack of wisdom. We read in Proverbs 9 verse 10. A clear proof text. Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see? Where we don't believe anymore in Jesus Christ. Where we don't trust God's word anymore. When we do not live before the face of a living God. There is no wisdom. And things will go wrong in our life without any doubt. Do things go wrong in your life? Return to the Lord like David did here. It always comes down to faith in the triune God. And our whole life is a school of faith. Oh, David begins Psalm 34 with the following words. Very short. I will bless the Lord at all times. He forgot to bless the Lord in Nob, overwhelmed. He had forgotten to bless the Lord there in Gath. The lesson? From now on, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Blessed the man who sings these words. Oh, and then verse 4. The Lord appeared to David. Because that's what happened. There in Gath, in the darkness, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. I was overwhelmed. I was in anxiety. I didn't know what to do. And I saw the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me. And that Lord is still the same God. Are you wrestling with sins in your life? With decisions you have to take? With your situation, whatever it is? Seek the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6. This poor mankind. Previously he said, give me that sword. Ah, that sword of Goliath. There's no better sword. And here he cries. This poor mankind. He forgotten that sword. Forgotten. This is poor man. A beggar. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. How did this all come about? How did David remember God's goodness? What is the secret here? Is it something in David? Is it something in you that you suddenly return to the Lord again? No. What is the secret that we return to the Lord after a dark time? Verse 7. Just continue to read. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. You know that faith? It was never totally gone. No. It was weak, it was small, but there was still some hunger and thirst for God. And we read in verse 7, the angel of the Lord. That's the secret. A designation of Jesus Christ. An Old Testamentic designation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will never lose any of his sheep. Never. They can fall. Oh, and their downfall can be great. They can live in sin. They can lie. They can behave like a madman. They can bring shame to the Lord. And yet, Jesus Christ will never forget his children, his sheep. He's the good shepherd. Oh, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. It is Christ's love. Already here in the Old Testament. We know so much more. It's Christ's love that brings us back to the triune God. Oh, and so he sings in verse 8 and 9. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye Providence Reformed Church. For there is no want here. Psalm 23. There is no want for them that fear him. That live before him. The living God. Amazing, huh? Christ never lets his children down. Never, never, never. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about. But still a question. Is there more to say about the restoration of David? Is it Christ? Yes, it's Christ. But there's more. Psalm 56 gives us a second answer. I don't have the time to elaborate extensively on Psalm 56. Read it at home. It's just an amazing psalm. Oh, in that psalm, David expresses his great distress. But then there is the turn in the psalm. We read in verse 3, what time I am afraid, and he was afraid, overwhelmed, you see? He was overwhelmed, afraid. I will trust in thee. And there we have that question again. David, how did this turn come about? What is the secret here? One answer is the angel of the Lord. He's the good shepherd. But there is a second answer. Let's read Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. Again. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And then, in God, I will praise his word. His word. In God I have put my trust. How did the turn came about? David remembered God's word. Young children, whoever you are, oh, it's so important to open God's word. To meditate upon it. To ponder about God's word. To learn it by heart. That when you are in difficult circumstances, walking in darkness, that you remember God's precious promises. Of that angel of the Lord that encampeth round about you. You see, the secret here is in God's word. He remembered God's own word. And precious promises. Was there a restoration in David's life? Yes. Was it because of David? No. It was because of a triune God and his word. And that God is still the same God. Flee to him. Flee to him. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, what a gift is thy word. Bless the proclamation of thy word to our soul. Forgive, Lord, our shortcomings and sins in preaching and listening. Forgive, forgive, forgive. We are so weak. Forgive our sins of the past week and weeks. Have mercy upon us. Lord, our hope is on thee alone, as a triune God. On thy electing love, O Heavenly Father. On thy work at Calvary's cross and thy resurrection, O Son of God. On thy applying work, O Holy Spirit. Oh, hear our cry. That there may be that found in us that fear of the Lord. That we may grow in the fear of the Lord. That we may live every moment of our life before the face of a living God. God, receive our thanks. Be with us. Bring us again here later today. Hear our prayer in the name of thy Son as we lift thee up. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 388. 388. 388. That's Psalm 142. More about that psalm, the Lord willing, next week. Psalter 388, Psalm 142. We'll sing three stanzas, 1, 3, and 4. Lift up your heart to God and receive his blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.